Hey everybody, welcome back to my podcast, How to Write a Hit with Lane. So I've been really into TikTok lately, and I follow a lot of singer-songwriters posting their original music, and there are so many good artists and songwriters out there. So the market's really saturated right now. There's a lot of content for us to hear, and a lot of it is so good, and it's just so easy, like easier than ever to discover really great underrated artists. But also with that, it's more important than ever that we are putting out good content too, because like I said, the market's so saturated and there's a lot of competition, so it's kind of hard to stand out with some good songs. So today I wanted to talk about all the songwriting mistakes that I see beginner songwriters make all the time. There are so many things that people do a lot, and I hear that, and it just brings down the quality of the song, in my opinion. So I'm going to tell you what those things are so that you can avoid them and make your songs a lot better. Okay, so let's just get started with the list. So the number one thing that I'm always seeing songwriters do that really makes your songs not as good is they don't use slant rhymes. And if it's been a long time since you've taken an English class and you don't remember what slant rhymes are, they're not perfect rhymes. So like mad and glad, you could do mad and hat. Like that would be a slant rhyme. There's absolutely no reason that you should be limiting yourself in that way and be letting your rhymes control the content of your song, when your rhymes should be a tool in helping you get across the content that you want. That should be the first priority, that you get the right message across and not the rhyming part, because that's honestly not really as important. So I just wrote a song that I really like and I'm very proud of, like 10 minutes ago, so I'm going to use this as an example because I have quite a few slant rhymes in the song. So in the second verse of the song I wrote, I have written, as the years go by, we all grow up, it's natural, and while getting older changes things, it's inevitable. I want to hold your hand until our breath goes cold. If there's someone better for me, I don't want to know. So I rhymed the last word of every phrase, and you can see it's natural, inevitable, cold, and no. None of those are perfect rhymes, and that it's really more about the consonant sound. And when you're singing, you can kind of change the way you enunciate and pronounce things and make it fit better, and that just opens up a lot more options, and it just sounds a lot less boring and more creative. You know what, I'm going to try and find an old song that I have written where I didn't use slant rhymes and see if you can tell the difference. Okay, I found like a really cringy, angsty song I wrote a really long time ago when I first started writing. One of the verses says, "You might call her a spoiled brat, but you don't know where she's at. She lives in a trailer with a single mom. They're barely sliding along." So as you can obviously hear, the rhymes are very brat, at, mom, along. They're very elementary, and I kind of let my message be controlled by the rhymes a little bit. So yeah, moving on from that, use slant rhymes, open up your options a little bit. It sounds better. Number two, another huge one, is symmetry. This does apply to any genre, but especially if you're writing a pop song, the symmetry of the rhythm and the melody is really important for the listener to be able to follow the song easily. Okay, I'm going to do another example, and I'm going to sing two melodies. One will be symmetrical and in the rhythm and melody, and the other one will not be. And I won't tell you which is which. Well, it'll be obvious, but just tell me which one you liked better. But I'm the buzzkill. But I promise I won't tell you how to live your life. Yeah, I'm the buzzkill. But just let me be the one to drive you home tonight. I'm so tired of losing friends. Don't break the rules with them so they disappear, because I'm the buzzkill. Oh, I Okay, here's the second example. I've seen pictures of places that I'd like to go to. Magic in movies that beautifully shows you the cherry-picked parts of a planet that can get oh so dark. And when I go outside, it just looks like they're lying it. You see the streets as the silver screen's telling it. I cannot see the things that you're describing to me. So yeah, as you could obviously tell, the first one was very symmetrical in the rhythm and melody. The second one was not at all, and it sounded like I was making it up as I went along. Which, to be fair, that's exactly what I was doing. But I see this mistake a whole lot. And it's such a shame, because people will create such pretty melodies, but like I said, especially in pop music, in all music, though, most people just want to be able to sing along to the song. And if you don't have melody and rhythms that are repeating at least a little bit, people won't be able to appreciate those melodies, rhythms, and the lyrics, because their brain is trying so hard to figure out what's happening, what's coming next. So yeah, that was one of the best pieces of advice for songwriting that I've ever heard. Someone specifically pointed it out to me, hey, let's like make this symmetrical, it'll sound better rhythmically. And I never really had paid attention to before. I mean, I was doing it for the most part, but it's not something I had actively been trying to do. And that hearing that changed my life. And now that's like super important. And I make sure that it's symmetrical. And I write way catchier melodies now. Number three, the other thing I see beginner songwriters do is with their chord changes. So a lot of people, when writing songs, will make the chord changes only on the downbeat of the measures. I'll give another example so that you understand what I'm saying. So we'll use the really basic pop chord progression here. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. So you see, I only changed the chords on the one. And it doesn't sound bad. It sounds fine, but it's really basic. It's boring. And there's a lot of more fun stuff that you can do to spice up your chords. So I'm going to play those same chords, but I'm going to switch them at a different time. And so they're not all going to be played just on the one. Okay, so let's try something different here. Let's do 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So you can see they both had the same chords. And that was like a really basic pop chord progression that I'm sure you've heard in millions and bajillions of songs. But in the second one, I just changed the rhythm of when I was hitting those chords a little bit, and the second one sounded a lot more interesting. There's nothing wrong either with doing that first kind of rhythmic chord progression every once in a while for a song with like a really good, simple, catchy melody. But if you're doing that for every song consistently and you're not ever doing anything creative or fun with your chord progressions, you're gonna look like an amateur, and you don't want that. So make sure you change up your chord progressions, or even change your time signature to something other than 4-4. 3-4 is a really easy one to write in, and that'll make it easier for you to come up with something a little different. Okay, I think we're on tip number 4 now, which is to create imagery in your songs. Try to find a way to say what you want in a way that tells a story and makes the listener picture something in their head. So, for example, instead of saying, "I feel sad because my boyfriend left me," another way you could say it is, "I push back tears as I cut you out of the family photos." So you can actually, when I say it that way, you still get the idea, okay, she broke up with her boyfriend, she's upset about it, because she's crying, obviously. But you also get, like, an image in your head, and it feels like you're part of a vivid story, and it's a much more interesting way to say it. And try and come up with something personal, like, write what you know, and you can take situations from your own life and just literally just describe it in a way that rhymes. And that'll just improve your songs a lot more by describing that than just singing outright what happened. Another example in a song I wrote that I have in front of me, it was just a song about feeling lonely. And so one of the things I said, instead of just saying, like, I am not good at talking to people, I am awkward, and it makes me feel lonely. The way I said it is, I'm the warmest robot that you'll ever meet. Which is a much more interesting way to say I don't have good people skills. And a fun exercise you could do is just take a really, really basic sentence, like, I'm lonely, or I am so excited to move out of my house. I don't know, I just picked something random. And then find other ways to say that without saying it. Let's see what you come up with, and you'll probably have a list of interesting, fun ways to say that, and I'm sure you could use one of those ways in a song. So my next tip that I have is actually the other side of the tip I just said, which is having only imagery, and, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you're imagining things, and it's like the singer is saying something in a really interesting way, but it doesn't connect together, and it's not obvious enough to the listener. Now, this one might be controversial, so you can take this with a grain of salt, because there are a lot of very, very successful singer-songwriters that do not follow this rule. Phoebe Bridgers is a great example of that. If you aren't good at creating imagery in your songs, definitely go listen to a Phoebe Bridgers song, because that's one of her things that she's really, really good at, is that she'll create imagery and such a vivid scene and story, and you can really, really picture what is happening in your head. It's very personal too. But a lot of the times, it's not obvious, to me at least, to some people it might not be, but it's really not obvious the whole entire message she's trying to get across with the song overall. It's like, okay, that looks cool in my brain, but I don't understand what it means and how this connects to the last few lines you just said. So I like to use a lot of that imagery in the verses. And then in the chorus, still use that imagery, still find an interesting way to say things. But then especially in, like, the last line of that chorus, usually I'll be more obvious about it. So, like, put a few lines in there so the listener, like, knows for sure what's going on. Again, like I said, there are a lot of songwriters who don't do this at all. Riptide by Vance Joy, another great example. I might actually have to do a podcast on that song alone, because the lyrics, they don't make any obvious sense to the listener when you hear that song. But it's a really popular song, very successful. Personally, I find it more relatable listening to songs, and I enjoy it more when I know at least a little bit what it's about. My sixth and final piece of advice to not look like a beginner songwriter is, don't be too redundant in your songs. I'm going to use a Justin Bieber song for an example of this. But I don't know if you remember the song Eenie Meenie with Justin Bieber and Sean Kingston. That was, like, my jam back in elementary school. So let's look up the lyrics here. So it says, okay, the first verse says, she's indecisive. She can't decide. She keeps on looking from left to right. Okay, so literally they just said that she's indecisive in three different phrases. Like, we knew that when you said she's indecisive. So there's no reason they needed to say she can't decide and that she's looking left to right, because that also means the same thing. Again, after they just established that she's indecisive. So at that point, it's probably time to move on. You only have a limited amount of time in a song to get your message across. Like, the average pop song is about, like, somewhere around the 3 minutes 20 second mark, 3 minute mark-ish. And that's not a lot of time. And so you can't use all the words you want. Also, you have, like, a rhythm that you're trying to stay in, and you can't just cram as many words and phrases as you want into there. So each line is very important, and it's good to use that wisely. So if you've already said something, if something's already been established, there's usually not a need to say it again. So those are all the mistakes I have for you that I've noticed in beginner songwriters that you should try to avoid making if you want to look like one of the pros. I hope these tips helped, and I'll try and record some more podcast episodes soon. I haven't recorded one in a really long time, but I've been coming up with a lot of new podcast ideas lately. So, again, hopefully that helped. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day, summer.